We're in Parag Beis and Pirkei Avos, in the middle of the second Mishnah Beis. Mishnah was speaking about Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. It's nice to have learning Torah, but with some work, some parnasa, because doing both of them will allow a person to forget sin. He said that the Kotzker said that he's so busy working and learning that he won't have time to sin. And any Torah that doesn't have with it work, so that in the end it's going to be lead to wastefulness, lead to all sorts of bad things. Like the Vartanu explained that you could learn all day, but if in the end the person doesn't have food to eat, so he's going to end up turning to the wrong things to try to get that money, and one sin leads to another, and then all the Torah is lost. That was the first half of the Mishnah, and that was what we're still actually involved in. So let's see where we're holding. We're holding over here. Yeah. It says, Yofetom Torah Derechetz, Shayigia Shnei Mishkach HaSavon. It's good to combine the study of Torah and occupation for the effort required for both keeps sin forgotten. So the Choizim Leblin, he interprets this in a very interesting way. He says, when the Mishnah says, Shayigia Shnei Mishkach HaSavon, he says the word Mishkachas, which literally is shichicha, forgetfulness, is also the same word as mishkachas, to find. So he says, what does that have to do with it? So he says like this, a person who's constantly occupying with work, he's always working, he's always in the world, so he doesn't have very much time to look inside himself and see, am I really doing the right thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he's always running around working. Therefore he thinks that he's okay. On the other side of the spectrum is the guy that's always in the Beis Medrash, always learning, always doing those things, and he also thinks that he's perfect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that he's perfect, and that's okay, it's all good. So both of these people need to be woken up a little bit, and to know that there's always room for a lot of improvement in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore he says, Yof HaTalmud Torah B'derech Eretz, by having some Talmud Torah, but also getting out of the world, and the opposite also true, by getting out of the world, but also having some Talmud Torah, so the toil of both of them will mashkach asavon, will help a person find the places where he's lacking, right? I always remember that people would always say, in this context, they would always say, it's very nice to learn, it's very nice to sit and learn all the time, but what about college? That's what you get a lot when you're at a certain age. What about college? What's going to be with college? So, I would always think, you'll never hear them say, it's very nice to be in college all day, but what about learning? Same thing. A person has to have balance. You're right. A person might need to have a parnasa. A person might need to go to college, might need to do these things. But a person also is in college. He has to also make sure that he has tons and tons of learning and connection to Hashem, or else he's lost in there also. So, that's what basically the Chosbe is saying, that for us to recognize that we always need to grow, we need to be in both. So this is a very interesting concept, and it would seem to be contrary to the way we think. We think the tachlis, the purpose, the greatness of the greatest thing a person could reach is to sit in like a room and never look out of that room, literally not go out of that room, and daven and learn, and then that's it. So what does this say should go out? So Rav Shik Zatzal, he explains it a little deeper. He says the person that's learning all day, he thinks that he has mamash reached the peak of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he goes and he exposes himself to like the desires and the travails of people in the real world, so he realizes also all of a sudden, wow, I'm not that perfect guy. A lot of times, you'll go to the Misrat HaPnim or something like that. So this guy, mamash, the holiest guy in the world. He never goes out of anywhere, but he's a citizen and he needs to get a paper. If not, he's not going to be allowed to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. So he's forced to go to the Misrat HaPnim. He goes to the Misrat HaPnim and they give him a runaround and they... And he finally gets that thing and they say, well, you missed your turn. You were supposed to be in the other room. And I asked the person. They said, here. What? No, get out of here. Oh, but I was waiting 2.5 hours here. Backwards and forwards. And finally, he loses it and starts, getting angry. So all of a sudden he realizes, wow, I always thought I'm so calm and Beis Medrash, I never lose it to anyone. I still have certain things of anger within myself. Anyone that goes out into the world a little bit sees that he's not perfect. And another good outcome that comes out from this is that the person that's always in the Beis Medrash, at a certain point, sometimes he gets used to it. It's okay. But if and when he goes out to the world a little bit, and he tastes the, you know, he's sitting there in Beit HaMikdash for 3.5 hours, and he goes back to the Beis Medrash often, he's like, Beis Medrash is safer. People learning, normal people. It's like it's a pleasure. Experience is very much like, I think it was 2 Pesachs ago when we were back. So we went to the Palisades Mall for one day. It's like, I don't know, I think the second or third or fourth, the biggest mall in America. So it's very large. You could spend probably a good few days inside of it, and has just about every store you could imagine. And my wife is going shopping. You know, we were there for a few weeks in America, so we're hopping around and shopping, and there's plenty of things. There's carousel and a thing for the kids to play with, a Ferris wheel. In the mall there's a Ferris wheel, in the mall there's a carousel. So we're going and doing and running, and eventually it ended up, you know, we finished that. I was just chasing around the kids for basically hours on end, you know, trying to keep them busy, and, you know. And finally, after maybe like 3 or 4 hours, just literally going, spinning in circles in this place of just goyim, you know, basically just people walking around, shopping and trying to get, you know, some good not kosher food and other things like that. So finally we got home, and it was right by mincha time, and I just literally they started mincha, go! So I just ran into shul, and I was like, oh, golly, and I opened the thing, and I opened the siddur, and it was like, Baruch Atah Hashem, like in Shemoneh Esrei. I just looked at the name of Hashem, Yud Kevok, and it was like the most incredible sensation, like, Hashem, you know, like there's a boy, there's Hashem. Just looking at it, I was just like literally like taken into a trance, like, you know, like when you go into the world, it would have been another mincha. I try to think, Hashem, you're the master of everything that was, everything that is, everything that will be, everything is good, you're the creator and doer of all. But now I didn't have to think anything. It was just like, Hashem, Baruch Hashem. There's still a boy. So when a person leaves, so to speak, obviously it's not something that a person should go out and do, but life inevitably will cause people to go out of the Beis Medrash, and therefore, when we come back, we can come back with a totally fresh appreciation for the things that we thought were just regular stuff. Rav Shiki even explains, he says that this same goal of the getting this yearning towards Hashem could also be accomplished through kirov, which is very apropos for Rav Shik, because he's, you know, all his guys are, he's very pushing to go out and do hafatzah, do kirov, do these things. So going and spending some of your time to do these things actually also causes that, you know, when you come back into the Kohesle Beis Medrash, into the world of the Beis Medrash, all of a sudden you feel like, you know, it was good, it was holy, it was a very, very noble thing to do, to try to bring people closer to Hashem. But when you get back to the Beis Medrash, you do have a feeling of calm and peacefulness that you would not necessarily have if you would have stayed in there the entire day. I know over here in the yeshiva, they do a chatzah, they go out, they do things like this. The Imre Yosef, who is one of the Sfinka Rebbes, quotes his Rebbe, who I don't know who that is, who learned the importance of humility from this Mishnah. He says, the Mishnah says like this, Yafa Tam Atoya in Derech Eretz. Right? Shigia Shnei Mashkach HaSavon. He says, Yafa Tam Atoya in Derech Eretz. Tam Atoya, learning Torah, is good when it's in, when it's with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, we understand it as being, you know, proper acting, and this Mishnah is in the context of having a job, making a living. He's learning it Derech Eretz, the way of the earth. What does the way of the earth mean? What does the earth do? The earth, no matter how much people trample on it and step on it and destroy it, what happens? It just gives forth more and more stuff. A couple of we have on our block a bunch of trees, and a bunch of the trees are rotten, and they basically I guess they were bad off enough that they cut them down. Iria came and chopped them down, but they left around 2 or 3 feet of the stump there. These dead, you know, disease-infested trees. And sure enough, out of these dead, disease-infested trees, boom, these leaves and things, and one of them has this whole tree trunk coming out of there. So, basically, that's what the earth does. The earth, no matter how much you destroy it and you break it, it just takes it all in, and it gives forth everything. It gives forth the food, diamonds, gold, everything. Basically, everything that we need comes from the earth. So too is the learner. A learning guy who brings into his life this way of the earth. The way of the earth, the Derech Eretz, means that he's totally nullified. No matter what happens, he just keeps going with humility, serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's going to merit to give forth all the goodness and kindness, just like the earth does. Another allusion that the Imre Emes quotes from his Rebbe is that we see another amazing thing from this idea. He says, Derech Eretz is Gematria 515, which is the same Gematria as Tefillah. So he's saying, Yochet Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz is alluding to, it's good to have learning with some davening. You have to learn, you have to daven, right? The famous line that someone asked of Nachman, he asked him, the Litvish people say that it's the main thing is to learn, the Hasidim are always saying the main thing is to daven. What should we do? So the Rebbe said, the main thing is to learn, it's to daven, to learn and to daven. Right? That's the point. The point is to continuously be doing all of them. That's what this mission is teaching us according to this illusion. You have to Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, you have to learn Torah, but you also have to have Derech Eretz, you have to have some tefillah also doing that. And I say, if and when we do this, sometimes we get involved in Torah and Tzedakah, and we feel ta'alut, and you feel like this great, great inspiration and arousal inside of you, and you're flying on a spiritual high. However, after that, the Baal Shem Tov says, a lot of times, right after that big, big high, like you're on Yom Kippur, and you're like, Ni'ila, whoa, you're like fasting, you're amazing. Right after that, a lot of times comes a very deep state of constricted consciousness, of all of a sudden making the cockness where you don't think anything, you can't think anything about Hashem, you don't feel anything, and suddenly you find yourself just getting angry and talking Lashon Hara and just getting very, very quarreling with people. So therefore our mission says, V'chol Torah she'ein imen melacha, any Torah that doesn't have with it work, in the end, it's not going to be good. So what does that mean? The Baal Shem Tov says, right after being absorbed with Torah, you have to have malach. You have to do something real, meaning some menial work even, to bring yourself back down into the real world. And, like you have, a lot of times you'll see this on Matzah Shabbos, right? Shabbos is so high, Shabbos is so amazing, and you're by Shalshus, and you're hearing Torah, and you're singing, and then all of a sudden there's Ma'ariv, and there's Abdullah, and all of a sudden, after Abdullah, you feel this little crash. Oh, gosh. You feel like there's a little emptiness in your heart. You're like, oh, no, what's going to be? It's the week, it's not Shabbos, it's not... You just feel a crash. So the Baal Shem Tov would say, perfect, Matzah Shabbos, pick up your eyes, and look what's going on. All the plates are dirty, the tables are filthy, everything's upside down. Grab a broom, grab something, and if you want to make a spiritual inspiration last, take it and bring it into some physical act afterwards of doing something kind and good, and that actually helps out to lift it up and to keep it in a person's thing. You have over here in the Ne'eh Sharm Shul in Breslau, you have Rav Shimon, right? Rav Shimon Shapira. He's the gabbai of the shul there. You know Rav Shimon? Also, a kid with a white beard, he sits there, he walks around saying tikkun haklal the whole day, putting away the sforim. If you walk in there at 3 in the afternoon, he'll be like cleaning up the benches and putting away the sforim. Huge tzaddik, he wakes up chatzos for 60 years, huge tzaddik, and he sits there and he puts away the sforim. He says tikkun haklal as he's doing it, why not? He knows it by heart. He says 13, 20, 40 times a day. Just keeps saying it again and again. But in the meantime, he's doing menial work, seemingly. Obviously, menial work for a shul is never menial work. But in the end of the day, that's what he's doing. So that's a good etzah from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, just to keep inspiration going. In this context, what the Baal Shem Tov says is to grab something physical and do it. Do a little physical kindness and work. Then it says another pshat is from Rabbi Yitzchak Mivaditcha from the Kedushas Live. Right? He says, why is it good to have Torah with work? Because he says that by keeping all Torah rules during laws, during doing business, right? So then a person is actually thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. He's not like, oh, now he works and now he's learning. No, in the middle of the work, he's thinking, how can I be nice? How can I ask the question? How can I make sure that I'll be chosh and mishpat? I'm not ripping this guy off and I'm paying him. We have our kid goes to mitapelet, so at the end of the month, you have to pay 200, 300, 400 shekel, whatever it is. So she makes a cheshbon one time, and she says, listen, you know, I said, you know, whatever, it came out, 283 shekels. I had 290. I said, whatever, you know, we'll deal with the 7 shekels. She goes, no, I'm going to get it. I'm going to go to her room and find change because I don't want to come back as a frog in my next life. You know, basically every single thing that a person does in monetary interactions is also dictated by halacha and is very, very chashuv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when a person is focused on Hashem during his work and his learning, so it's amazing. This guy has work, the guy's parnasa, he has food to eat, and he's always thinking and learning. Right? And this is the concept that is brought out in a famous question. We know that when you make a bracha, you have to then eat from the food. But then if you wait around for an hour or two, so then you have to make a new bracha. Right? The bracha has to continuously be on the food because you're continuously eating the food. So the Chassam Sofer asks, we make a bracha in the morning, we wake up in the morning, we make bracha to Hashem, noisin atayra, we make the bracha on Torah, and then we go out, we daven, and we have breakfast, and we hang around, we do something in the post office, and then we come back 3 hours later into the Beis Medrash, and we go like as if we're still tzamud, we're still connected to the bracha that we made in the morning. How could that be? We know the bracha has to be connected to the thing. So the famous answer he gives is that when a yid goes around his entire day doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of his physical interactions and all of his business dealings, that is Torah. So and a yid basically does this all the time, all the day, no matter where he is. And that's the truth. The truth is that wherever you are in Torah, wherever you are, a yid should and could be always done to the Torah, no matter where he is. If it's, let's say, halacha, so okay. Guy has to know, what do I do? Is it, you know, so then you have to, sometimes, you know, this is what they say, that the greatness of learning Gemara and getting very deep into the depths of Gemara and then being able to grind it through until you get to the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Pesach Halacha is that you get the whole corpus of what the Torah, how the Torah approaches every single situation until you can be yourself, become a posek, and you can walk around the streets and know, oh, the Torah says this, the Torah says that, and know exactly how to react in a halachic standpoint in every single thing. But it means also just thinking and recognizing that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. A couple of days ago, I was walking down Paran, down the street with a whole bunch of stores. I was going one end to the other end, passing by all these stores. And I was passing by a shawarma store. So I saw the shawarma sitting there on that big spit, on that big, big stick. And it's going around there, you know, slowly, and the fire's on the side. All of a sudden, I was reminded of a great shtickle Torah. And I said, wow, you know, you could be like walking down Paran and just see anything. But if and when the Torah is applied in every situation and all over in your life, so then the Torah pops up into your life all the time. What I remember? I remember that I was staying over this story from the Noid of Yehuda to some guys. The Noid of Yehuda won Shabbos Shuvah, right? The Shabbos before Yom Kippur. So the minhag is to get up and give a fire and brimstone speech, you know, about tshuva. Wake up! Yom Kippur's coming. Your whole life is on the line. You know, that's the norm for rabbi. The Noid of Yehuda got up there one week on one Shabbos Shuvah, and he starts off with a pilpul. Says in the world like this. And it says in places like that. But Rashi argues like that. And today he should have that Rashi really meant like that. And he keeps going. And he's building this huge pilpul, this huge, deep, intricate sugya and shas, and bringing it out in all sorts of different places and shas. And he builds this amazing sugya, and he puts it all together at the end with an amazing resolution that ties together all the sugyas and make them all make sense. And that's how he ends his Shabbat Shuvah, Joshua. So have a good Yom Kippur. So the people came over and after, they said, Rebbe, what does this have to do with tshuva? What does this have to do with Yom Kippur? Like, it was amazing, but it has nothing, like, what did you do that for? So he said, and this is what one of the kids taught me, he said that, one of the guys I was telling you this with, he said that his rabbi used to always give that shmooze. He used to call it the shawarma shmooze. Why? He said, because his rabbi used to say, you ever seen a shawarma on that stick? Turning around and burning? That's going to be you in Gehenna. He's scared. He's like sixth grader. That's going to be you. You're going to be turning around burning. They're going to turn up the fires for what you just did, you know? So, he says that. Rabbi always used to give him the shawarma shmooze. So basically, when I heard that, I said, wow, so this is probably what the Noid of Yehuda said. He said, listen, if I would have given the shawarma shmooze, how many people would have gotten here or tshuva? maybe five guys, most of the guys, click, he's talking about someone else. I don't want to hear another Swarm of Shmooze. I'm not burning, you know, I don't want to hear about how I'm burning in 18 types of fires, red and white and purple. No, I'm not listening. Three guys would have been like, no, he's right, you know, I should take care of Tua. And then a couple of minutes later, they're like, nah, I didn't really do something that bad this year. You know, and they would have gone right there. He said, that's why I didn't give the Shmarm Shmooze. He says, what did I do? I gave a pilkul. I gave a depth, deep, deep, incredible, intricate look into the depths of the Gemara and the Torah. He says, every single person from this place, even the people that didn't get 100%, got it 60%, even 40%, all were amazed. Wow, even them that didn't see it 100%, they saw from afar at least. Torah is awesome, it's unbelievable. The people that did hop it were blown out of their seats. Wow, Hashem and his Torah are one, and they all fit in, it's amazing. He said, that's what I wanted to give over before Yom Kippur. You can come to Yom Kippur with a little, oh, I'm going to burn, or you can come in, but Hashem is one. And that, I felt, was more important. So I was walking down Paran, and I saw shawarma, and all of a sudden all these thoughts started coming into my head. So this is what Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is saying. He's saying that a person, when the Torah is part of his life, if it's in a sense of a halacha, or if it's in the sense of just wherever he is, the Torah is pumping inside of him and connecting inside of him so that whatever comes up, it's automatically connected to the Torah. You know, the Mekubalim speak about how everything is just oisiyais, and therefore when they see a table, they just see letters, and you know, they're walking around those, so they're on a very high level. But even for a regular person who's walking around, he could be constantly thinking about Torah. He can be constantly thinking about different things, about how they connect to the Torah, and he can constantly connect to the Torah, no matter if he's in Talmud Torah, or if he's in Derech Eretz, if he's walking on the street, wherever he is. The Maharam of Neshit sees this concept also in a very unique way. He says, Yafa Talmud Torah, Im Derech Eretz. It says Im Derech Eretz. What does it mean? Im? It means within. It means that when you're working, the Torah is within it. Because if you were toiling in them and they're two separate entities, then they are Shigiyah Shneyam Ashkachas Avin. Then all of a sudden they bring Avin. Meaning he's saying a person should never ever look at life as two separate things. You know, like they used to say about certain modern Orthodox people that used to have long goatees in the old days, so that when they'd be amongst the religious, they'd hold their hands on their cheeks. They'd look like they have a long beard, and then when they'd go in the modern places, they'd hold their goatee so that it looks like they were clean shaven. You know, they all had this shita, you know, this idea that wherever I was, I could be. You know, if I'm in the goyish world, I could be a goy. I could speak around their ways and act in their ways. And if I'm like the Jews, I'll act like that. No. A person has to recognize that when work and Torah are all one, this is the best way. This is the thing that will do everything, that bring all good. There's a story about the Chafetz Chaim that they say that a person came to him and he said, listen, my father owned the store. It's tremendously successful, famous story. And now I took it over and it's taken a nosedive. He said, why? So the Chafetz Chaim said, let me ask you something. When your father didn't have customers, what do? He says, I learned. He says, what do? I read the newspaper. I'm not on my father's level. He says, what happened? When your father was sitting and learning, the Yetzer Hara said, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this guy to stop learning? Learning is the holiest thing. And he sent him a customer. Sat and learned a little more. Another customer. He had customers all day long, right? And he had pronounced from it. He says, well, you, Yetzer Hara comes and he sees you sitting and reading a newspaper. Why does he care? Not doing anything anyway. Leave him. He doesn't send any customers. I once met a taxi driver here. The guy knew the entire Chumash Baal Peh. How? Because he used to take. I think he was religious. I don't even know. He used to take one pasuk or two pasuk or three pasuk each day and just review it the whole time whenever he was driving around. And a couple of months ago, I was going actually to the cleaners, and I see that the guy, I'm about to pay him and get my cleaner, he's doing something, fumbling with some stuff under the counter. So I said, what are you doing? He said, he's writing a Sefer Torah. So I asked him if I could come see. I go around the counter. Sure enough, under the counter, he has quill and the ink, a beautiful parchment. He's writing a beautiful Sefer Torah. What? It's a cleaner. It's not like, you know, a pizza shop where people are coming in and out every single second. He probably has 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes all the time. So he sits, he's writing a Sefer Torah, doing a mitzvah. Obviously, he's a Sefer Stam. He already knows how and what he's supposed to be doing. Unbelievable. A person, no matter where you are, no matter where we are, if we're doing work, if we're in the street, wherever we are, to know that Yofa Tamater and Derecheres, that they both should be connected together, because both of them are Mishkachas Oven. When you're dealing with both of them together, no sin can be found. As a Shem Shadapa, so we should be Zecha, so we should be Kayim, whatever we learned. Have a great Shabbos, guys.